Welcome back to the show, and cry the beloved country. What we are witnessing is a terrible shame of historical dimensions, but don't cry for too long. Instead, after a good loud wail, get up and take back the culture and values that we still hold dear and self-evident. That is the admonition from Rabbi Dov Fisher in a very thoughtful and personal piece about the state of America and American politics and American culture and The Spectator. Rabbi Dov Fisher joins us now. He's a high-stakes litigation attorney, adjunct professor of law, and rabbi of Young Israel of Orange County, California. Rabbi Dov Fisher, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
I gave the conclusion of your piece, but help us get to that conclusion. What are you lamenting at present?
I love the United States of America. It's one of the great blessings in my life that I was born in the United States and that I got to really live in a time that this great country with its great values was at its peak. And my tragedy, and the tragedy of so many of us today, is that we are watching the greatest country there ever has been get torn, or at least attempted by people to tear it down, people who want to destroy something because they've gone to colleges where a bunch of leftists and holdouts from 1968's riots, the sort of unrepentant Bill Ayers and Bernardine Dorn types, mm-hmm. who had nothing else that they could do professionally, so they went into the universities to teach and to corrupt our youth and destroy a generation and then destroy a second generation. We have two generations now who do not appreciate what this country is. No one's breaking down doors to try to immigrate into Russia or into Venezuela or Cuba. Go ahead, name the communist country China or anything that derived from communism. When they built the Berlin Wall, that was the communists trying to keep people from immigrating out to the free West, because people go only one direction. They go towards capitalism and freedom. They run away from communism. And to the degree that this country is suffering or has suffered so much trouble trying to control its borders, and especially on the south, our southern border, it's because people are trying to get into this country because it's the greatest country in the world. And when you watch young people going around destroying and trying to take down monuments to some of the greatest heroes of this wonderful country, it's something that would lead you to truly feel that this country should have itself a good cry.
Well,
and that's really what motivated me.
And I like that you focus on institutions rather than sort of expressions of the institutions, the byproduct of these institutions. So you say in your piece, you know, it's not Antifa that particularly worries you. It's not Black Lives Matter that worries you. It's, as you just mentioned, it's institutions that are producing generations of ignoramuses, entitled ignoramuses at that. Like our universities. So just develop that a little bit more. Why don't those Malcolm McDowell types on the streets of Portland and Seattle and Chicago, why don't they worry you?
They don't worry me, let's say Black Lives Matter, because I take a look at the people who really are in power and the troublemakers and the worst spouters of the left. I look at the people who run the New York Times, all their editorial writers. And I look at the editorial writers at the Washington Post. And I just go down that list, and the owner of the Washington Post, Bezos. And I look at the people who run NBC, CBS, ABC, PBS, MSNBC, CNN. And I look at most of their main players, whether we're talking about Jake Tapper, or we're talking about Wolf Blitzer at one, or at the other one, whether you're talking about Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. And you go up and down, and you go up and down. When you list them all, they're all white. There's a few blacks that are thrown in, token blacks. They're all white, basically, the power holders. And the reason Black Lives Matter, they don't know it, but they're never going to win, is that the white guys that run all of that, and all the Meryl Streeps in Hollywood, and all the Hollywood actors that are activists on the left, what they all have in common is they're white. They're never going to give up their power. They'll mouth platitudes. They'll put on a kente cloth. Huh. They'll throw some crumbs the way they would heartlessly throw crumbs at birds or at animals at a zoo. That's what they've always done. All the social programs for African-Americans and Latinos, I mean, that's just crumbs. Ever since the 1960s, Lyndon Johnson, Great Society. So I'm not worried about those. It's unfortunate, for, in a way, that the Black Lives Matter people don't even realize that they're just being used, manipulated as stooges by a bunch of Democrat leftists who will use whatever they can to try to take down President Trump.
I want to talk a little bit more about those crumbs, as well as another piece you wrote about the last 4 months being a prelude to a rebound, and your vision for what that rebound looks like over the next 4 months. More with Rabbi Duff Fisher, high-stakes litigation attorney, adjunct professor of law, and rabbi of Young Israel of Orange County, California. More with the rabbi there.
Grab a good seat and sharpen your pencils. Class is in session with Professor Dan Proft and the Dan Proft Show.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rabbi Duff Fisher. He's a high-stakes litigation attorney, adjunct professor of law, and rabbi of Young Israel of Orange County, California. We were talking about, the rabbi was explaining how the left power structure, which is predominantly white, provides crumbs and lip service to organizations like Black Lives Matter, rationalizes away the thuggery of Antifa just to sort of keep them at bay so that they don't turn on. So those organizations don't turn on those in charge. I mean, we saw the same thing with that that letter from all those white liberal academics, mostly white liberal academics in Harper's Magazine. You know, please, we got to temper the cancel culture because I don't want to get canceled, essentially was the message. But those crumbs this time around, you know, the welfare state programs aren't enough. They're included. They've come in the form of now a demand for reparations. But those crumbs now also include eliminating American history. And do you find that particularly dangerous, the tribute that the white left is willing to pay to their socialist base, to the Jacobin base, in order to protect their positions?
Our American history is a gorgeous history. It's the story of people who were fleeing from another continent at a time when it was terrifyingly dangerous to go across the Atlantic. There still were some people who didn't even have certainty that the Earth was round. And regardless, it was terribly dangerous to go across. But we had the original people who came and landed at Jamestown and survived. That's what Thanksgiving is about. You had people who came to Plymouth Rock and were able to create a religion without King George standing in the way. And our culture and our history is something to preserve, because those heroes, those 56, for example, who signed the Declaration of Independence, and they pledged their wealth and they pledged their lives to each other, risking their very lives. And they had a lot to risk. They were in the top, but they put it all on the line for democracy and freedom. And one of the great tragedies, I mentioned in my article that I'm a rabbi. I'm an Orthodox Jew, an Orthodox rabbi. I'm also a national leader with a group called Coalition for Jewish Values. We're about 1,500 Orthodox rabbis. One of the things we Jews have been doing for 2,000 years as a religious requirement is Passover. We sit down, and there are our rabbis of 2,000 years ago ordained certain foods, certain rituals, certain texts, and we recite these texts, and before we eat those foods, we talk about why those foods, and it's also that we have our kids at the table with their parents and grandparents discussing the freedom from Pharaoh in Egypt. And if we had not gone free from the Pharaoh in Egypt, to this day we'd be slaves. And that's what we teach the kids. And the United States, we have three holidays that kind of potentially could have done the same thing with kids. Days like Memorial Day, days like the 4th of July, Thanksgiving. But the thing is, you can't really impose religious requirements. And so what ends up happening is Thanksgiving is a time that parents, grandparents, and kids, they ought to explain why they're eating turkey and cranberry sauce and yams. It's about these settlers, these early pioneers came to the Jamestowns and found new foods in a new land, and they somehow survived by God's miracle, and they created this extraordinary country. Or Memorial Day, to remember the great heroes who gave all and gave their lives so we would be free in wars like the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812. Most people never even heard of it nowadays. And they continued fighting, and they gave their lives in places like Gettysburg and moved on. World War I, the great battles of World War I, World War II, going on to those who gave their lives at Hamburger Hill in Vietnam, and more recently in Fallujah and places in Iraq. And the thing is that kids ought to have grown up with that. If there were only some way to make them sit one night a year, like Passover at the Seder, and they would sit with their parents and their grandparents and listen to the story of America, of a small number of people with a great concept that all humans are created equal. And instead, unfortunately, tragically, the kids grow up without knowing American history. And on the other hand, they don't know the history of the Soviet Union, for example. So when some idiot like Bernie Sanders goes ahead and talks about the beauties of what he calls socialism, but he's talking about communism. But when he went to the Soviet Union on his honeymoon, he was talking about how bread lines are a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a shame that kids don't know not only the history of America, they have no idea about Stalin, the Holodomor, of what he did to the Ukrainians, what happened in Cambodia under communism, even the present times, what Hugo Chavez did to Venezuela, a fabulously wealthy country, how he ran it into the ground because of communism. They don't know history.
And so, I mean, so I'll take that as a yes, you're very concerned about things like the 1619 Project, and it's not the honorifics like giving Nicole Hannah-Jones a Pulitzer Prize. It's the fact that it's part of public school curriculums increasingly. That's the problem.
Oh, it's horrible. You're taking kids. When I went to school, the day began in yeshiva. Yeshiva is an Orthodox elementary school and high school. Yeshiva is an Orthodox parochial school. Every day began, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And long before we even understood what the word indivisible meant, we, half of us probably were saying one nation invisible. The thing is that we grew up with our hands on our hearts, with pledge of allegiance, understanding that this is a great country. And then we sang the Star Spangled Banner. And we understood, again, maybe we didn't know what ramparts are, but we knew all the words. And we knew, we just felt patriotic. We were taught that we are lucky to be living in the greatest country there ever has been. And I grew up, I went to Columbia University undergrad, where my professors, even back then, 30, 40 years ago, were trying to tell us in class that this country is not what we believe it to be. And we knew enough to blow it off, because at least we learned stuff. We learned enough history. We knew we were being brainwashed.
He is Rabbi Dov Fisher, high-stakes litigation attorney, adjunct professor of law, and rabbi of Young Israel of Orange County, California. Rabbi, a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having had me.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is the Dan Prof Show.